drink every day from noon to 3.
I'd be so rattled if I was held at gunpoint. What do you do?
You know what the answer is? You do whatever they tell you to do. That's the answer.
Well, what if you want? What if they're like, "Give me your wallet"? What if you don't have any money and you try to tell them?
You're like,
"All I got in there is cards, man. I got no cash. All I got is cards."
They're
like, "Give me the wallet."
I don't want to have
my ID. But then you got to go loot, get a new ID. You got to cancel all your credit cards, debit cards, get new cards. It's just a huge pain.
Well, I mean, what's a bigger pain? Getting new debit cards and credit cards and an ID, or getting shot?
Getting new credit cards and debit cards and ID, because you get shot, you're just like, then you die.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
Let's try it.
You start a GoFundMe. If you get it up to about $1,000, I'll probably let you shoot me in the foot. I got to make the rent.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. I drank me some Truly last night as I tried to help Cody get through his emotional situation. I enjoyed it. It was nice. It was refreshing. Had a nice little buzz, but didn't have a hangover. Perfect. Only 100 calories. 1 gram of sugar. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly. Hour two headlines. Cody, Matt Truck, barreling down the highway.
Thanks, John. The Braves, they have discontinued the practice of handing out foam tomahawks after comments made by St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Ryan Helsley, who is a Cherokee Nation member. So this got a lot of, this was right before the game started yesterday. This was going around the internet. Out of respect for the concerns expressed by Mr. Helsley, we will take several efforts to reduce the tomahawk chop during our in-ballpark presentation today. That's what the Braves said yesterday before the game. Among other things, these steps include not distributing foam tomahawks to each seat and not playing the accompanying music or using chop-related graphics when Mr. Helsley is in the game. As stated earlier, we will continue to evaluate how we activate elements of our brand as well as the overall in-game experience. We look forward to a continued dialogue with those in the Native American community after the postseason concludes. It would conclude roughly 10 minutes later.
Yeah, a lot of Braves fans were mad about that. It did seem really weird, like, that you announced that you weren't going to do it as much, and then you're like, well, we actually only said that we're only not going to do it when he's in the game. It just seemed really weird. It seemed like a terrible thing to do right before Game 5. That's something you address in the offseason, in my opinion. Like, if you want to make the change to not play it while he is pitching, then just don't play it while he's pitching. You know what I mean? Like, just don't do it. You don't have to announce that you're not going to do it. Just don't do it. Did you want, like, the good PR? Did you want the clout? Because all it did was make your fans mad and then made other people say, well, then why are you still going to do it? Are you going to get rid of it this offseason because you're acknowledging that there's something wrong with it? Like, it just seemed like a really big mistake for the Braves to do. And, you know, best way to make sure people aren't doing the tomahawk chop is just to get your ass beat. So I guess they obliged there, keeping it to a minimum as well.
It's very nice of them to also allow Mr. Helsley 10 runs.
Well, I don't even think Helsley pitched yesterday. At least he didn't when I watched. Maybe he got in at the end, but not while I was watching.
President Donald Trump is criticizing Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich for their response to the China controversy. Trump weighed in on the topic Wednesday afternoon, saying NBA officials have to work out their own situation, and he was later critical of Kerr and Popovich, saying they were pandering to China.
Okay. He said at least
he also said Kerr was a little boy. He was like a little boy, so scared to be even answering questions.
Yeah, he said at least Popovich didn't seem scared, right? Didn't he say that? He's like, I don't really like Greg Popovich, but at least he didn't seem as scared as Kerr. I think was what he went on to say about that.
He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know, I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question, and yet he'll talk about the United States very badly.
Steve Kerr is getting ripped to shreds over this. Some would say rightfully so. I would say, A, the NBA's probably told him not to talk about it. B, I'm not surprised that Steve Kerr knows more about American issues than he does what's going on in China. But it also always boils down, I've said this a couple times already, to me it just boils down to you worry about what affects you. China doesn't affect Steve Kerr. He's probably not as worried about it.
Most people probably don't care as much about the rights of people in Hong Kong as they do the rights of people in America.
Yeah.
At least people from America speaking on the issue.
That's kind of what it comes down to with what I think it comes down to at least. But either way.
Jeremy Pruitt said yesterday that the freshman quarterback Brian Maurer will remain the starter against Mississippi State.
Okay.
So he went ahead yesterday, apparently, and said Maurer will be the starter.
You know, he had done the thing where he said unless he has an awful week of practice, blah, blah, blah. Then he just came out, went ahead and said, you know, I think you guys deserve to know that he is going to be the starter. You guys should know that. I don't know if it's a you guys should know that, like we're going to tell you. Like we think that you deserve to know that just so you can prepare and the fans might come out and be more willing to support the team, or you should know that in terms of, yeah, of course, dummies, of course, Maurer starting. I don't know which one, which way he meant that, but either way.
Todd Gurley did not practice yesterday.
You call him Curly?
Yeah, I said Curly at first. It's not Curly, it's Gurley. He didn't practice yesterday. Sean McVay said it's hard to say if Gurley will play on Sunday. Apparently Gurley has a quad injury.
Okay. We could talk some fantasy coming up later this hour.
We could.
We will.
Yeah, we could do that.
We were supposed to do that yesterday and did not, so we will today.
So Zion Williamson, the most points in a preseason game by a rookie in 3 years?
Yeah.
29 points. And all his shots, you said all his shots were at the rim?
Yeah, he was 12 of 13. He shot 92% from the field, and they were all in the restricted area. They were all right at the rim.
Yeah, how about that?
Which preseason Bulls, one thing. We'll see if that translates to the regular season, how often he can get to the rim at will. But, you know, he's an athlete. He's a freak. He might not have to develop a jumper, at least for a couple of years, to be successful and impactful. Watching him and Lonzo Ball play is going to be a lot of fun. I want to see him and Lonzo get out and run.
Brian McCann retired yesterday, the Braves catcher. After the game, he announced his retirement.
Yeah.
Seven-time All-Star.
Yeah. He retired a couple months ago, as far as I was concerned. Just kind of quit hitting towards the end.
Yeah.
Just kind of out there taking up space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some confusion about Jalen Ramsey. One reporter, Catherine Ross, says that owner Shad Khan, the Jags owner Shad Khan, told her that he expects Jalen Ramsey will be playing in Week 6. However, Josina Anderson says she's told Ramsey is still going to listen to his body. Nothing has changed about his stance. So I don't know if he'll be playing.
It's weird because, like, I don't know what Jalen Ramsey's thinking is. I don't know if the Jaguars are going to trade him. Like I said, the report was they turned down a first and second round pick from the Eagles for him. But if you are Jalen Ramsey, it's probably more likely you get traded if you come and show you're healthy and can actually play. Maybe these other teams are like, hey, how bad is his back actually? We don't want to trade for somebody with a bad back. So maybe he has to drop that act and just show he's healthy and maybe he'll get traded. I don't know. Maybe the price will go up. You got any more headlines? Is that it?
The NFL has banned the Ravens dropkick on the kickoff after one use.
Ah, I don't know how many people saw this. Did you see this, Cam?
I have not seen this.
It was it was really good. And I was like, Justin Tucker ahead of the curve. It was basically they ran the perfect situation. John Harbaugh is it Jim or John? Jim's in Michigan, right? John's in Baltimore. John was a special teams guy for most of his career, I believe. I think he was a special teams defensive backs coach starting off. Anyways, there was like 2 minutes and 1 second left in the fourth quarter. So, boom, right ahead of the two-minute warning, right, where you can't like really kick it off because you don't want them to run the seconds off. So when they used it, it was basically he bounces it, and then Justin Tucker just booted it straight up in the air, like 80 yards in the air, just boom, straight up in the air to down all the way down to the 20, gives the coverage team chance to just swarm the kicker. They have to call a fair catch. Then they can maybe bobble it. At the very least, though, it ran off no time off the clock, and it seemed like a really smart thing to do. Did they say why they banned it? Would it be safety concerns or what?
Because
I didn't know what was wrong with it. It was very effective, though.
The NFL was not a fan.
With the way that onside kicks are working now, where they don't let you get a running start anymore, onside kicks are working 0% of the time so far this year. Like, they pretty much eliminated the onside kick. They've gotten rid of it. So the drop kick, I felt like, was at least a better option. Like, hey, kick it as high as you can. Maybe they'll bobble it. Maybe they'll get nervous.
It says the NFL has deemed it illegal. They banned it. I'm not seeing why.
No safety concerns or anything like that.
We talked to the league office. We explained exactly what we were doing. They said it was legal and we could do it at the time. We talked to the office before the game. They've been in contact. They said it was legal. Let's see.
All right, that's good enough. Let's talk fantasy next. Send in any questions you may have. We'll talk fantasy. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. As we set the mood here, let's get ready to talk some fantasies. You ready to talk fantasy, Cody?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I was just looking over my teams.
Okay. Let's start running through some people's questions. Some people sent some questions in having questions about fantasies. Tweeter writes in, should I just give up on Aaron Rodgers and start Gardner Minshew? Cam, feel free to weigh in here, too. You are a trusted fantasy football mind. Aaron Rodgers, last week, of course, gave the ball off a lot to Aaron Jones. Have we seen officially whether or not Devontae Adams is going to be back? Are they expecting him on Monday Night Football?
I think he's going to be a game-time decision, but I think they're leaning towards him playing.
Man, that's going to be frustrating all year. That's one of the reasons I traded Devontae Adams myself is like turf toe. I remember when I was younger, Steve McNair had tough turf toe, and it was like every week. It just seemed like that was is he going to play? Is he going to not play? Obviously, McNair was the toughest guy ever, so he played. But the receiver, it's going to be tough. If he doesn't play, that really affects Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. You saw last week against the Cowboys, he wasn't really throwing to receivers. He wasn't really throwing to receivers at all. I want to say that receivers only caught 4 passes for the Packers. Let me verify that as we talk it out. But I feel like they really focused on let's run the ball, let's take some dump downs. Without Devontae Adams, that receiving core starts looking a little funny, right?
Yeah. Without
8 targets to Aaron Jones. Wow.
If you take out the Philadelphia game in week 4, he had a good game in week 4. He threw for 422 yards, 25 fantasy points. Other than that, he hasn't thrown for more than 238 yards and 2 touchdowns. He hasn't put up over 14 fantasy points.
Now, I will say that through the first 2 weeks, especially Chicago and Minnesota, elite defenses, Denver, I feel like their defense kind of gives up some things, so maybe you should have done more there. Dallas has a pretty good defense as well, so he has gone up against some good defenses.
Yeah, they've all held him down. No more than 14 fantasy points.
And the Detroit Lions also bring in a pretty good secondary that gave Mahomes some problems too. My answer, I wouldn't give up on Aaron Rodgers moving forward, but this week I think I would probably go with Gardner Minshew. Just for this week, who are the Jaguars playing? The Saints? That's not a good matchup either, but I feel probably better about Minshew this week. But I'm not ready to pull the trigger on that for the rest of the year. Marcus Mariota. About said Marcus Allen. Marcus Mariota or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen's doing more with the legs, right? I feel like Josh Allen has done more with the legs. I will say Mariota going on the road to Denver. Josh Allen home versus, or I don't even know if they're home. Where's the Bills playing this week? They're off this week. So I guess we're just looking. We'll obviously go with Mariota this year or this week. Rest of the season, though, I'd probably lean towards Josh Allen. Noah Robinson asked, is the Patrick Mahomes regression a real thing? Nah. I think he's going to have more bad weeks in a row before I feel like he is actually regressing. Now, is he going to throw for four touchdowns every game and 300-something yards like he was the first couple weeks? Probably not, so maybe the regression's real in that sense of, like, maybe you readjust thinking you had a first-round type of production in Patrick Mahomes, but I still think he's by far the number one quarterback, and I still want to see what this offense looks like with Tyreek Hill, right? I feel like Tyreek Hill is going to help them when it comes to the whole playbook out that is just play man defense against them. It's a lot harder to play man defense against the Chiefs when you have Tyreek Hill out there running by everybody, right? A lot tougher to do that. And keep in mind last week that Sammy Watkins wasn't out there. You know, he was throwing to Pringle and Mecole Hardman. It's a little bit different caliber of receiver than if they put Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill back out there, and Tyreek Hill's been practicing. So, no, I'm not worried about Patrick Mahomes. Actually, yesterday in one of my leagues, I traded for Patrick Mahomes. I traded Lamar Jackson and Nick Chubb. I had some running back depth. I traded both of them for Patrick Mahomes, Sony Michel, and who was the receiver? I don't even remember who the receiver was. Oh, Sammy Watkins, yeah. So, like, I feel like Michelle's going to be fine, and I still want Patrick Mahomes. Josh Gordon's still a solid flex option. What's Josh Gordon done lately, Cam? You were having the same question with us earlier, right, about Josh Gordon?
He's been pretty average. You know, like, he'll get, like, 5 catches, 70 yards. It's usually somewhere around there.
Here are his 5 games so far this season. Week 1 against Pittsburgh, 4 catches, 73 yards, touchdown. Obviously good production. Week 2 against Miami, that was a weird game. Not only was it weird in the sense that they beat the hell out of Miami, it was also weird in the sense that Antonio Brown was on the field, and they were trying to get Antonio Brown the ball. He had 5 targets, 2 catches, 19 yards against the Jets, 11 targets, which is good. Like, a big part of fantasy is, are you even getting the options? Are you getting the opportunities? I don't worry so much about production week in to week out. It's more so of just like, are you in the game plan? Are they trying to throw you the ball? You know, we kind of talked about Devontae Adams earlier. His first couple weeks weren't great, but at least he was still getting double-digit targets. He was still getting 8, 9 targets, 11, 12. So, like, you felt like, hey, this is still going to be a thing. With Josh Gordon, if he can get the 11 targets, that's probably pretty good. Obviously, against Buffalo, only 3 catches, but 7 targets. Against Washington, 5 catches, but 8 targets. I would say I would still trust him as a flex option. I've given up on Josh Gordon as a wide receiver, too. I wouldn't want him as a second wide receiver. I think you can do better than him there. But as a flex, especially as we get to the bye weeks, I would probably feel like I would ride with Josh Gordon there.
He's got a pretty good matchup this week, too, with the Giants secondary.
It is on a Thursday night, though, which you do kind of worry about sometimes, right? The Thursday night games are weird, and yeah. I do worry about in this situation, how much are the Patriots actually going to be throwing the ball?
Yeah,
like, it does feel like they can get a lead early, and it does feel like the Giants, who are without any skill players, are going to have trouble scoring. Right, like, it does feel like this could be a blowout. So maybe this week I would try to find a different option. Although the Giants secondary is one you can pass on, so I'm not giving up on Josh Gordon as a solid flex option. Whether or not I played him this week on Thursday night against a game that's probably going to be a blowout, that's a whole different decision, and I would have to see who is on your roster at that point. Will Fuller or Stephon Diggs PPR? Alec, I feel like that's an easy answer at this point. I'm riding with Will Fuller. I'm not saying Will Fuller's last week is going to be something that is repeatable. It's not going to happen again. But I do feel like he's going to have a better chance of scoring touchdowns and having those big days. Right now, Stephon Diggs, man, I don't know if I'm playing Stephon Diggs over any wide receiver with a pulse that's getting the ball, right?
He's just not getting it. Even though Kirk Cousins was better last week.
He's still only throwing to Thielen.
Yeah, he's going to Thielen. And
I mean, Thielen got 8 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs got 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards. Like, that's kind of the norm for Diggs. He did have he could have had a big game against Green Bay. He had 7 targets. He had a touchdown call back. That's probably the best game he's played, but even then he had 1 catch for 49 yards and a touchdown. Diggs hasn't been good. 2 for 37, 1 for 49 and a touchdown, 3 for 15, 7 for 108, and that was a lot in kind of garbage time as they were trying to come back on the Bears. And then last week against the Giants, 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards. Yeah, I'm going with Will Fuller.
Yeah, he's got, and they're gonna have to score to keep up with Kansas City this week.
Oh too. Yeah, especially this week, But rest of year, I feel like I'd rather have Will Fuller than Stephon Diggs, unless like Diggs gets traded to the Patriots to kind of help their wide receiving core. James White or Devonta Freeman? I'd probably go Freeman still, right? I mean, just in PPR, especially like I know James White's value is in PPR, but I feel like Devonta Freeman, excuse me, has been getting a lot of balls thrown to him.
Yeah, they were passing to him a lot last week. And
the rushing yards aren't there, though.
A little better, but, yeah, but they're not good. Dominating.
But with James White, that's not going to happen either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's playing Arizona this week, so that's a manageable defense to play against.
This week especially, I would go with Freeman over James White. It's kind of the same reason we talked about Josh Gordon, right? Game flow, I think the Patriots are going to dominate this game, which means you're probably going to see more of Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead. James White's kind of that third down safety blanket, or when they're trying to score in a hurry, he comes out and is kind of the PPR back. I don't think they're going to have to do that this week. This is crazy to me. Foster writes in, would you either have OBJ or Gallup? Which seems wild. Like, that Odell Beckham's gone from a first-round pick to, would you rather have him or Gallup?
He's awful. He's not getting the ball.
Cam, how do you feel about that? OBJ or Gallup? Well, first we'll start with just this week, and then we'll talk about kind of the rest of the year. OBJ and the Browns, who do they got this week? They play the Seahawks in Cleveland, whereas the Cowboys play the Jets in New York. Sam Darnold will be back.
I almost want to say Gallup just because.
Yeah, I can't say Gallup, though.
I feel like I shouldn't, but like he was leading the Cowboys in targets before he got injured. People try and take away Amari Cooper. So he ends up getting that production off of that, and I don't know. The Browns' offense has just been so inconsistent this year, and
man,
Baker's looking rough.
I do feel like I do like Gallup. I traded for Gallup in another one of my leagues this week. I targeted him. I wanted him. I do feel like he is a good receiver. But, man, to me, Foster, I would say this. Sometimes it's just about not feeling stupid. Like, sometimes I manage my fantasy team. Like, I just don't want to feel stupid. If you start Michael Gallup over Odell Beckham and Odell Beckham does some Odell Beckham things, you're going to feel stupid. If you start Odell Beckham over Michael Gallup and Gallup outscores him, you can at least defend that, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to make fun of you. Like, bro, you started Odell Beckham over Michael Gallup. Everyone's going to be like, okay, we kind of get it. That sucks that Odell Beckham's a bit bad. I'm not panicking on him yet. But, man, you've seen what happened with the Browns offensive line and Baker Mayfield, right? Like, those guys haven't been good so far this year.
And I'd say it kind of depends on your fantasy team, too. Like, if you're cruising, I'd say play safe. Play Odell. If you're really like hoping, hopefully boom or bust kind of thing.
I know, but I mean, is Odell Beckham still not the ultimate boom or bust guy? Like, I mean, like, is he still, I mean, his ceiling's still higher than Gallup's, right? If you're looking for a boom, absolutely. Like, Odell Beckham's ceiling is still, he'll go out and get you 35 points. So I don't even agree with that so much. Like, with Gallup versus other guys, sure, but still Odell, I feel like he is a home run hitter. Troy, Cody, feel free to hop in here if you have any questions or things you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
But
I actually had a question I was going to ask you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Would you trade Jared Goff for Kenny Galladay?
Who's your other quarterback?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a 2-quarterback league.
Oh.
Do you have a third?
Yeah, how are your receivers?
I don't have a third right now.
Then no, I wouldn't do that.
Goff for Galladay?
Nah, I wouldn't do that if it's a two-quarterback league. One-quarterback league, yes. Two-quarterback league, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that, no.
All right.
Troy asks, Kareem Hunt, is he going to be valuable when he comes back since Chubb has been good so far? I wouldn't keep Kareem Hunt on my roster through the bye weeks. Like, you're going to need those roster spots too much. Get rid of them. Kareem Hunt, we don't know how he's going to be when he comes back with the Browns. We don't know if the Browns are going to be in the race. We don't know if the Browns are going to figure out how to block yet. Like, so, like, I'm going to say I have no problem letting go of Kareem Hunt. If you want to try to hold on to him as a lottery ticket, good luck, but I don't have much confidence in him. He's a free agent in a couple of my leagues, and I don't mess with him. I don't mess with him. Andy asks, Emmanuel Sanders or Mike Williams in his flex? I'd go with Sanders.
Yeah,
I'd go with Sanders. Do I start Jared Goff or Matt Stafford? Who do the Rams have this week? They have the
49ers.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be tough against that defense. Matt Stafford going against the Packers.
That's a good defense as well.
Yeah.
Coming off a bye week, though, I don't know if that
I wonder, like, with the Packers defense and the Lions defense being so good, I can see that game being low scoring. We said that Todd Gurley's out, right? Todd Gurley probably going to be out. That was the headline.
Probably. Well, he hasn't been practicing, but they don't know yet if he's going to play Sunday.
I would go with Goff. I would go with Goff over Stafford. Miller asked, "Do I want to trade him, Tyler Boyd, for Jarvis Landry?" Hell no, that's stupid. Absolutely not. No way, buddy.
Greg Olson, will he reach a decent level of production? He was good earlier in the year. He hasn't done anything the last 2 weeks.
I just don't know if you're having to start Greg Olson, who your other option is. You know what I mean? Like, who else could you play?
David Njoku, he's hurt.
Then yeah, like what? You want me to make you feel better? Like tell you it's going to be okay,
yeah,
man.
I want you to tell me. Yeah, basically.
Tell you everything's going to be okay.
I'm wondering if Greg Olson will get any better.
I mean, he had zero receptions last week. Exactly. I don't think he has the chemistry of Kyle Allen.
I started him in my DraftKings lineup, and he gave me a big zero. And I had a chance to win some money. In our little league, and he gave me 0 points. So as far as I'm concerned, G-Reg can go to hell.
All right.
We'll talk later about who else. What other tight ends are available in your. In your league. Matt asks, Gordon tonight or Adams on Monday? I'm definitely going Adams on Monday. Yeah. Cam, you agree with that? Like, Josh Gordon is probably going to max out at 15 points. If Devontae Adams plays, he's going to get you 15 at least and with a higher ceiling. To me, the difference is worth it. And if
Monday is the only issue because, if he ends up not playing, then you're like,
I would try to grab just another receiver in that game
Lions,
just in case.
Like
just,
Marvin Jones is available or something. Just
any Lions receiver, take a flyer on somebody on the the Packers. Maybe even open up just a flex spot. Maybe you have to throw out Jamal Williams. I don't know. Last one, Drew asks, Galladay or Sammy Watkins in the flex? I go Galladay. Galladay's been really good, and Matthew Stafford likes him. And Sammy Watkins is the ultimate boomer bust guy.
Especially if Tyreek's back this week.
Yeah, I'm just not betting on Sammy Watkins. All right, good edition of Let's Talk Fantasy. Appreciate everyone for the questions. I guess they get to blame us now if we gave them bad advice. I feel like fantasy is the ultimate thing. Like, you don't even necessarily like let people change your mind, but if someone co-signs you, you at least like do it, and you're like, okay, now I'm going to blame them if they're wrong. I just needed someone to give me that push. Even when I was getting offered trades, I was like, let me run this by a couple people. That way I can have somebody else to kind of blame and be like, well, at least I wasn't a dumbass. The worst part about fantasy is feeling like a dumbass, so at least you're not alone if you are wrong. All right, Cam, take us to break. That was Let's Talk Fantasy with John, Cody, and Cam. We'll be back on the other side. Back on the program. Have you had your fantasy fill, Cody?
Yes.
Do you miss Mercedes?
What?
Huh?
Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she still hasn't called.
You didn't reply to your email?
No. No, I haven't heard back from her.
Have you checked your spam folder?
No.
Yeah, always got to check the spam.
I'm starting to think it was maybe just a one-night thing. She doesn't want to follow up. Speaking of brothels, I've been looking into maybe going to Amsterdam next summer.
Okay.
You ever thought about Amsterdam?
Nope.
I've heard good things about it. I've heard it's a really interesting place.
I had a friend who went. He had a good time. When I think of Amsterdam, I think of Hostel, so I don't want to go.
It's just a movie.
I know it is, and I understand that maybe I'm being crazy for saying that, but I'm just kind of like, what is in Amsterdam that I need to see? You know what I mean?
It's mostly behind glass. It's mostly behind glass.
Yeah, like pages. What do I need to see? Like that? I mean, it's just. What one of the big benefits is what like. Marijuana and stuff's legal there, right? Like, I don't smoke marijuana. Like, the brothels are legal there, too. Like,
it's like 50 euros, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's really cheap. My friend went out there, and he experienced it, and he said it was fine. But, like, I'm okay. I have a girlfriend. Like, and if I didn't, I wouldn't travel all the way to Amsterdam to to be able to go to a brothel. Like, to me, I've always just kind of like, what's the point of Amsterdam?
When you factor in the cost of, you know, brothels here versus brothels there, you probably save, even if the flight's a little more expensive.
Is that how you're going to like plan all your trips now? Like where prostitution's legal?
Where are there good brothels?
Yeah, like where's prostitution legal?
No, but I mean, I've always wanted to go to Europe, so that would be an added bonus to, you know, if I were going to go to Europe. But that's a big trip. It costs a lot of money to go to Europe. You know, so I don't know. I'm kind of tentatively thinking about it next summer, though. So,
okay, I'm not gonna try to talk you out of it. Like I said, my friend had a great time there. It's just not something that interests me. I have slowly started coming around the idea of like going to Africa. That's where I think
Africa. That would be cool.
Yeah, my girlfriend went to Africa. You know, before we met,
where do you?
She's always
talked
about how great it is and how she wants me to go, and I've always been like against it. Like, no way, I'm not going to Africa. But as really. In large part because Cam's Animal Kingdom, I've kind of come around. I was like, you know what? I'd check out Africa with you.
Go like on a safari.
Kenyan safari would be sweet.
I'd check that out.
Where do you stay
in Africa? She backpacked across Africa.
Oh, you can stay in some of those places where like giraffes walk right up and stuff. There's some cool places.
Yeah, see, I'm a little nervous about that because there are two things when I travel and when I go places in general that I worry about. Food and comfort. That's always like high on my list, like food and comfort. I'm a picky eater, and I'm really easy to irritate. That might not be shocking to anyone listening. I get irritated very easily, and I worry about my food. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the food's going to be like in Africa if we go. I don't know. The comfort seems like it's not going to be great either if we're having to like, you know, like walk around places and stuff. I don't know. Amsterdam, I kind of was like, the food probably isn't going to be great there either. Like, what's the point? If I'm going on a vacation, I'm going to go to, like, a resort or something. Or somewhere nice.
Wouldn't you like to try, like, new foods, though?
No.
Like, you don't have any desire to do cultural foods?
I have found all the food I need to eat. My rotation is good. Eating is something I feel like I got a good handle on.
What is it? Shrimp scampi.
Love shrimp scampi. Just devoured some.
Grilled chicken with rice.
I love pasta as well. I love pizza. Hamburgers, chicken fingers, donuts are cool too sometimes. Like, I'm good.
But don't steak, you don't want to change it a little at all?
Absolutely not. None.
I'll go
get some wasabi every now and then. Like, what are they called? Not oysters. What the hell am I thinking of? Sushi. Not the sushi. Nah, I'm good on that. But I'll get the fried rice. I'll do that. I'll switch it up a little bit there.
The hibachi.
Yeah, I'll get the hibachi. Outside of that, no, I'm good. Palate is my palate. I'm good at what I eat. I don't need to experience new foods.
Just trying something new, though?
The point of that?
Just to see what it's like.
I'm good.
I mean, don't you want
to... What if it's not
you're
good?
You're not interested in like other cultures and like this is what these people eat.
Not really.
Just see what it's like.
And I hope that doesn't mean that I come off like a jerk. Like, I like what I like to eat.
But what if you tried it something different and you really liked it?
What if you didn't like it, though?
Well, then you spit it out. You don't eat it. I mean.
I've wasted money. I've wasted a chance to eat good food.
But what if you really
What if I like it as much as chicken fingers? Like, then I probably should just order chicken fingers.
It's just,
You sound like the face. You sound like the what's the story? The poster. I don't know what kind of I don't know what this would be considered as, but the life lesson where it's like, hey, a man went to a deserted island and there was a fisherman there who was really good at catching fish, and they're like, oh, you should start your own business doing this, and then you could expand and do all this other stuff. And you know, at the very end, the businessman is telling him, then at the very end, you could retire and just fish. And he's kind of like, I'm already kind of doing that, you know, like I could find good food and find something that I like that I enjoy eating, or I could just enjoy eating what I already enjoy eating.
It's kind of not really the same thing.
It is kind of.
It's really not.
Yeah. Like the big goal of this guy starting his own business and running the rat race was so that he could retire and get to go fishing whenever he wants, which that's already what he does.
But that's working toward a goal. Like, you don't have to put in any work to just eat some food.
But his life has already happened. He wasn't money motivated. He just wanted to chill. So it is kind of the same thing.
I don't understand the mindset. I don't know why you wouldn't just try something different.
What's the point?
I mean, because you could just try it. And if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Go over there and kiss Cam.
It's not the same thing.
You might like it.
We're talking about food. Food is an easy thing to just
So is
attain.
Kissing. It's pretty easy. As long as Cam consents.
I don't even know if Cam would consent. Food always consents.
Not according to PETA.
Well, no, I guess not, according to PETA. I don't know why you wouldn't want to try a new thing. Like, you go over to Africa and they have this cuisine, and let's say it's like chicken and some sort of rice that they make. It's like, but they put their own spin on it. You know, they do different spices, different ways of cooking. I mean,
so what happens if I like it, Cody?
Well, then you can say I experienced some really good food in Africa and I enjoyed it.
And then I come back home knowing I can never have that same taste again, then I just, move to Africa and enjoy the food there? Like,
no, you could look up the recipe for it.
I'm not going to be able to cook it as good as the locals.
Well, I mean, if you learn how to cook it, you could make it similar, maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's just about trying new things. I don't understand people that don't want to try new things.
I just said I was coming around. I just said I was coming around on going to the trip.
What if you go to Italy?
That's a big step for me.
What if you went to Italy?
I like spaghetti. I'll eat some spaghetti. I like the marinara. I like the people. The
spaghetti.
I like the meatball.
Really? Spaghetti?
Pizza? I would eat Italian food. I'm familiar with Italian food.
Well, would you try their other dishes?
Nope.
The ones that are a little more, you know, Italian?
Maybe.
Spaghetti.
But they've earned my trust already. Well, I've eaten the meatballs my whole life.
Well, how about like some chicken marsala, something like that, just something a little different.
It sounds sexy,
Maybe try some capers.
Nope, I'm out on the capers. That sounds like it's not up my alley.
Do you ever do just like an olive oil-based sauce? Some olive oil, eat some olives.
Not a fan of olives.
With some mozzarella?
No.
Fresh mozzarella, you ever tried that?
No. I would try some fresh mozzarella.
Like it's actually in like the ball.
Yeah, I would try that.
That's good.
Yeah, like I said.
With an olive.
Yeah. The Italian chefs have earned my trust already.
So in Italy, so you would be cool with Italy trying different foods?
Because I've eaten Italian food. I feel a little bit more comfortable with it. I like Italian food here. You know, the Americanized Italian food, sure. But I would trust that. I've eaten it before.
Okay.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Mexican food?
I don't like Mexican food.
You don't like Mexican food?
I do not like Mexican food.
Tacos, even.
I mean, yeah, I like tacos, but like very bland tacos. Like, I went to Babaloo on Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. Shout out LeBron James, and I ate four of the fried shrimp tacos. Really, three. Girlfriend stole the last one because she wanted to only order two, apparently, for some reason. And then when she got to do with her two, and I had my one sitting there, she was still hungry. So she's like, "Should I order another one?" I was like, "Here, just take this one." She's like, "No, it's yours." Like, "I just take it. I'm full." Even though I wasn't full, I lied.
Aww.
I know. Love and all.
So you don't eat other Mexican food?
Nope.
Like,
nope, absolutely not.
No enchiladas, nope. Even? Mm-mm. Nothing like
I ate some arepas when I was growing up.
What are those?
Like my friend told me they're like pancakes, but they're not really like pancakes.
The Mexican.
Or is that empanada? Empanada, arepas, I don't know.
The Mexican sweet stuff is not very good.
I've tried Indian food because, you know, my friend's Indian.
Right, right.
Didn't
like it at all.
Uh-uh. And it was always awkward at the house. Mom would fix it, and I'd go and leave and get McDonald's. It's just, I like what I like, man. I am who I am.
feel like you're
like
the,
it or love it.
I feel like you're the guy that, that the other cultures make fun of us for. Like the, you know, the white, they say the white people don't season their food, and I feel like you're that guy.
You know what they say about you?
That I eat too much of it. Yeah, they make fun of me too. Italy's very divided, from what I understand.
Sorry to the podcast listeners. First time I forgot to start it. You didn't miss much. Just that Italian food is not pizza and pasta. It is seafood, because Italy is a peninsula. I mean, and I'm now officially out on Italian food.
I feel like they have a lot of pastas, too.
I do, too.
Different kinds of pasta, you know.
You make seafood pastas?
Yeah.
Some shrimp scampi. I just ate some. I ate some real Italian food just there. Some shrimp scampi.
I think they usually have something authentic. That's like an antipasti dish.
Italian.
And then they have like a meat that comes after. You know, they'll have a pasta dish, and a lot of times the meat is separate from the pasta dish.
The biggest things Americans get wrong about Italian food, according to a chef. Okay, here we go. Not all Italian food is in America is authentic. Yeah, we know that, buddy. Now, we spoke to Ali Larea, the co-founder of an Italian restaurant in New York City. Okay, let's hear it. In Italy. All right, in Italy, food isn't drenched in cheese and sauce. Portions are more moderate.
Sauce is also just supposed to barely coat the pasta.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
we use way too much sauce.
Way
here.
Too much sauce.
Classic Americans.
Classic Americans.
Yeah, gotta have our sauce.
That's what they say about you when you go. They say I'm too picky. I have no seasoning. They say that guy douses his food in sauce.
I don't douse anything in sauce.
In Italy, meatballs are not served on spaghetti, but more commonly served as a separate dish. I mean, is that it? Is that what you got for me, Insider?
That's what I just said.
Italian food is seasonal. Okay, here we go. It's heavily seasonal. Any restaurant serving regional cuisine will be serving the protein. Okay, let's see. If you drive past chickens, expect to see chickens. It's
have you seen the word antipasti yet?
Even at the auto grills. Dishes aren't smothered in cheese yet. You just told us that.
But they do love their cheeses, but
no,
it's not like cheese
there.
Here.
Spaghetti and meatballs isn't
fresh
a real thing.
Cheeses.
It's more than just pasta.
Right.
Okay, there's a
ton. They like string beans.
Veggie-centric dishes.
The rigatta.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything about the rigatta yet?
No. Butter and garlic is used in moderation.
The manigatta.
You won't find salt on the table. Hyper-diversity with each region. I'm out on Italian food, by the way.
There's a picture of Tony Soprano.
I'm out. I'm out.
You know what Italians have for breakfast?
Meatballs.
No. It's usually just a pastry and a coffee.
Mm.
Pastry and like a cappuccino. And they dip their bread, their pastry, into the coffee. The cappuccino or whatever. They like cappuccinos.
Okay.
Have you seen the Family Guy episode where they're talking about the new Al Pacino maker?
I don't watch Family Guy. That's below my taste standard.
So you eat pizza and chicken tenders, but Family Guy is below your taste
pizza
standard.
And chicken tenders are yummy. Family Guy is a little too immature for my sense of humor.
Hmm. Are you saying smooth brains watch Family Guy?
Never said that.
Is that what you're implying?
A hit dog hollers, though. Are you yelping?
I'm asking.
Do you feel like your brain's a little smoother than
most?
You
can't use that 2 days in a row.
If you're going to start hollering.
You can't use that
2 days. I never once said that.
I was simply referring to the Al Pacino maker, which I thought was funny.
Well, all I simply.
When the coffee comes out, it goes, ooh-ah, every time you make your coffee.
And all I simply said
was. I thought
it was
a funny bit.
And all I simply said was I don't watch Family Guy. It's below my sense of humor.
Hmm. So.
That's nothing to do with being smart.
Full of class and taste and all that, yet you're talking about spaghetti and chicken tenders. Which one is it?
Food-wise, I like the staples. Sense of humor-wise, I prefer something above fifth grade.
Okay. So you'll eat a fifth grader's lunch, but you won't read the boxcar kids.
I would do bad things for school pizza with the ranch dressing we used to have in high school. just to have a plate of that.
I mean,
with the side salad we used to could make. Now, don't try to hit me with the corn. Don't hit me with the corn that they used to put next to the pizza. Like, who the hell wants pizza and corn? But in high school, whenever we had the pizza buffet and you could get pizza every day, best believe it. Went in there, boom, side salad, two slices of pizza, and I went to town.
I would.
That was Michelle Obama's dream right there. Or nightmare, I guess.
It would be cool to have one of those good cafeteria meals. I think it's part of the fact that we just...
I'd go for one of their chicken patty sandwiches, too, to be honest. Those things used to slap.
And the did you ever have the Crispitos? It's like the chicken
cheese
and cheese.
Oh, no.
No, it's like the chicken and cheese things and the tortillas.
Sounds like you also want to eat a fifth grade lunch.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I think part of it is that we can't have it. You know what I mean? There's no way to get that.
I don't actually think that's true.
You think you could just go into an elementary school and say, I'd like to buy a lunch, please?
In Athens, you could.
Really?
You could, like, buy. Now, I don't know, like, how frequently you could do it or if you had to have a kid there or what, but, like.
God, wouldn't that be weird? Standing in the lunch line with a bunch of second graders.
No, I don't think that's how it works, but one of my.
Do I have to pay for mine?
No, I don't think that's how it works, but, like, I did have a friend's parent who bought a lot of the chicken patties from school, like, because her son was special needs and loved the chicken patties. So they sold her like 80 of the chicken patties that they would keep frozen whenever I'd go to their house. I could eat a chicken patty if I wanted. That was cool. And I've heard of people being able to buy the school pizzas. I don't know if that's true or not. We'll get to the bottom of it, though. I think there's ways around it. I think they'll sell it to you if you ask. You're willing to pay.
We eat a lot of processed garbage.
Hour 2 in the books. Hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.